special word of welcome to Wally White, who is the minister of Unity, who's here with us today. He's going to be joining us in all kinds of ways, music, doing one of the talks today. So we're excited to have both Unity and Wally here with us on this morning. Again, we welcome you to this Christmas gathering. And I'm going to start with a couple of readings. Usually at our service, I do two readings. One's frequently scripture, almost always scripture, and then so another source. But with it being Christmas, these are both going to be scripture readings from the New Testament. And I'll be reading the first one from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. I'm sorry. I get into a regular pace of what I always do, but that's not what we're doing today. We're not going to do that. We're actually going to have music first, and then I'll be reading both Colossians. Thank you for that. Thanks, Dad.
Even that. Hold on now, I gotta take a deep breath. I don't know what to say when I want you to your eyes. You made the world before I was born, but here I am holding you in my arms tonight. Noel, Noel, Jesus, you're a man. You're here. I'm holding you so near. I stare into the face of my Savior, King and Creator. You could have left us on our own, but you're here. I'll be watching you when you change the world. Look at your hands, they're still so small. Someday you're going to stretch them out and save us all. Noel, Noel, Jesus, our Emmanuel, you're here. I'm holding you so near. I'm staring into the face of my Savior, King and Creator. You could have left us on our own, but you're here.
First coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. I'm actually reading from the updated edition of the New Revised Standard Version. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And then a Christmas reading for this Christmas day from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. But the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news and great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "God, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those with whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child I in a manger.
Just a simple man of trade, my hand with all the
Today. I'm going to go first, and my message is entitled, A Strange Way to Save the World. Like some of you, I grew up in a family that, well, it was somewhat conservative in its theological outlooks and practices. This was particularly true when it came to the Christmas story. I learned that the wise men, I was taught they were wise men, not magi, but there were definitely three of them. I learned that the three wise men and the shepherds visited Jesus' family probably about the same time. I learned that the heavens reconfigured so that the northern star could shine down where he lay. I learned that where he lay was a stable because there was no room at the inn. There are others, but most importantly, I also learned that, at least what I was told was important, learned that this child was born to save us from our sins, born to die. He was to save the world. One of my parents' favorite ministers back then was actually Billy Graham. And here's the way he put that thought that was so important, at least the way we were taught. He said, the very purpose of Christ coming into the world was that he offer up his life as a sacrifice for the sins of men. He came to die. This, he says, is the heart of Christmas. I actually bought so far into that idea that I even won a poetry contest writing a poem about it in high school. Now, I can no longer find that poem, but one line of it from all the way back in high school still sticks with me today. I remember writing somewhere betwixt the shadow. The light, might there have been the image of a cross there that night? Honestly, just hearing that out loud kind of makes me glad I cannot find that poem anymore. So far be it from me to disagree with the Reverend Billy Graham, but holy Christmas, that is a ridiculous idea. And I am sure that you agree. As the title of the song that we just sang says, it really is a strange way to save the world. I mean, seriously. A God putting himself, and I'm intentionally using the masculine language there because that's what those who believe it would do. A God putting himself into a human body that he has preordained died to save the world by means of sacrifice to an evil deity that he himself has said to be mightier. With all the other myths of the Christmas story, like the three wise men, the star in the sky, the stable, even the stories themselves, through study and logic and contemplation, I, like most of you, have moved to new ways of gleaning meaning from these most made up stories. It really is remarkable that a spiritual movement that was based on the life of one person has chosen to ignore a great deal of the actual life and teachings of that one person and have instead decided to mostly focus on the birth and the death of that person. And it's particularly odd if you learn to acknowledge that the birth narratives and the death narratives are mostly made up. So yes, it is a very strange way to save the world. As a matter of fact, I don't actually think it saves the world at all. If anything, having saving the world be fully reliant on the actions of something that happened some 2,000 years ago, well, in my opinion, it all but damns the world to the hellish place that it can be for far too many people who have far too little when it comes to basic survival. When it comes to saving the world, I am much more interested in the life and the teachings of Jesus than I am in any divinely ordered sacrificial actions that humanity has overly burdened the stories with. Even in the stories themselves, we see signs of the importance of a divine teaching. It's like when Mary, upon finding out that she's pregnant, sings a song suggesting that Jesus, his life, is a reflection of what she understood God to be, saying that he will scatter the proud in their conceit, dispose of the mighty from their thrones, and raise the lowly to high places. He will fill the hungry with good things in a rich way. And then, in one of today's readings from Paul, or at least someone writing in his name, it gives us a list of what living a life following the teachings of Jesus looks like. It looks like having compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. It looks like a life focused on and motivated by love and recognizing how love binds everything and everyone together. It looks like being at peace and being thankful. It means sharing wisdom with each other and being joyful in life. And it equally means that wisdom using that wisdom to see that until all have lives for which they can be joyful, none of us have lives for which we can be joyful, because love, the true heart of Christmas, connects us and binds us together. The Christmas stories, in part, were meant to show us how important the life and teachings of Jesus would be. And then the stories that built up around his crucifixion were meant to show us how dangerous his life and teaching seemed to be to those who use their power to take advantage of others. If, as a large part of Christianity claim, Christmas and Easter together are meant to save the world, I, for one, would have to say it is indeed a strange way to save the world. And not only that, it's not working. If, however, we take seriously the reasons those stories were built up, reasons that point to the life and the teachings of that person from long ago, then we can clearly see that saving the world is not about the birth and the death that happened 2,000 years ago. Rather, it's about the life that was lived in between. Life, and Christmas itself, is about compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. It is about bearing with one another and giving each other. It is a life focused on and motivated by love and recognizing how love binds everything and everyone together. It means sharing wisdom with each other and being joyful in life. And it equally means using that wisdom to see that until we all have lives for which we can be joyful, none of us have lives for which we can be joyful, because that is what love would do. And love is at the heart of Christmas. And honestly, believe that is my just and safe world.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you all the Presbyterians for having us Unity folks in here with you all. You all gave us a gift because we got an extra hour this morning before we came. So I wanted to also look at the strange way to save the world, and there were some lyrics in the song very specifically, like if I just looked at them on the outside, that like, well, I don't agree with those, but I like finding things that I may not agree with, because then what we end up teaching are the metaphysics, meaning the what's beyond the physical word on the page, what does this mean to me, and how I think and how I feel and how I can be the best me out into my life and world and affairs. And so the second round of verses said, to think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. Deserved what? Like the best I can give you on that is, if you were to throw a little French in there and break the word down, the duh and the served, of serving, right? Then we've got something. But not only did Jesus come within this story as he needed to, as he deserved to, like this was required in order for us to get the inspiration and the story that we need to live our highest and best life. One of the great metaphysical lessons that I first learned in New Thought and in Unity, I learned from my godmother, Della Reese, and she brought it up every Christmas, and so I do too, because it's the greatest of inspiration for me, which is, if it's metaphysically what we teach is that all of the people in the Bible and the places, they all represent parts of our own consciousness. They all represent our own feeling and thinking nature. So the question that comes in this time is, what are you ready to give birth to? This is a celebration of giving birth to the Christ, to the God that is within you, out into your physical experience, into the human experience you're having right now. It's not just about what happened thousands of years ago. The real question that will save your world, and we've got the whole planet, right? But your first world, and really the only one you have control over, is right where you are. And if you do that in a way where you're spreading power and love and inspiration, that is contagious. And that will spread around the entire planet to places that you've never heard of and you will not likely ever go. But if you are striving to give birth to the God within you, to rather than having that human thought of, you know, well, there's the positive and the negative and the da-da-da. That's the human perspective. And that's cool. That's who we are. But we can always call upon and give birth to the spiritual perspective that is coming out of us, right? And when we do that, where it talked about, the first time it said in the song, it said, he wouldn't have, never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And then it says, in this other place, there would have been no Bethlehem if Jesus had been born as he deserved, right? But when we look at metaphysically, Bethlehem is a place of bread or a place of substance. And so where is that place of substance within our own experience and our own consciousness? It's within us. It's our mind. It's us. And so when we go within, just where does it say God rested? It says God rested within us. And then it's ours to bring out into how we think and how we can look at some horrible things on the news and we can just see the horrible, or we can, as Mr. Rogers' mother suggested, start looking for the good things in there. Because as you see it, it will multiply. And then you're encouraged to do a little bit more. We're the multiplying piece of that, right? So when we want to give birth to the God within us out into the experience we're having right now, we have to go within to our own Bethlehem, to that place where God is resting within us and put it into action. And that's what I think that when I see this, it goes on to say, it says, but Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. Joseph then physically represents our divine wisdom. And wisdom knows that you have to start from right where you are, that it's never all going to be a perfect experience. And that's where the growth comes from. That's where the real experience of getting to be like, nope. I'm not taking on that story. I'm not taking on that narrative. I'm going to claim it good right here, right now. We believe and we teach that God is all there is and that God is good. So that means that good is all there is, even though there are clear examples that doesn't seem so good. But there is good in there when you're willing to look for it and call for it and claim for it. And that is our power. And that is what I think is the most powerful invitation we get with the Christmas story, is to give birth to the God that is within us, to that God part of us, which we call the Christ. And that's not just one dude's last name or first name, depending on how you're talking about him, right? It is who we all are. And it's something that we use. It's a tool. It's an expression. It's a verb. And it's something that we give birth to, that we express out into our experience. And so I invite you all to look at that. And now, before I go into the song that I'm going to sing, we have to shift to Santa Claus, right? Because the song is about a letter to Santa Claus. And I was speaking to my niece-in-law earlier this week, and she was talking about deciding on what part of the Santa story she wanted to share with her now 8-month-old. And so the conversation, not going into the depths of that. But what I did say to her is that the important part is that spirit of Santa Claus, that spirit of giving that we all participate in, that we are all those elves, those workers that spread that giving, that spread that love. And so I'm all decked out in Santa today with the hat, and the people who are only watching virtually can't see it, but I have Santa socks. And I even have on, this is one of my mom's Christmas pins, which then gave life to, there's Santa with a hot air balloon, and Santa's down here. And I love that one for my own, you know, inside story, because it's mom's, it's Santa, it's a hot air balloon, which was one of my godmother's favorite stories of really teaching how the spirit works within us, because that warmth, that spirit has to fill up from within, and when you fill it up, you lift up, and you fly. And when you come back down, it's because you let the hot air out, it's because you let the spirit out, and you start sinking. The good news of that story is you don't have to say, oh, dumb me, I'm letting the spirit out, I'm sinking. You can say, oh, I'm sinking, let me get some more spirit and lift back up. And so I hope you'll do that in this Christmas season too. So let me share this song with you. Childhood fantasy. Well, I'm all grown up now, but can you still help somehow? I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list. Not for myself, but for a world in need. No more lies torn apart that wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts. Every man would have a friend that bright would always wait.
love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas tree. What is this illusion called? The innocence of you. Maybe only in that blind belief can we ever find.
And I'm going to share a prayer or a meditation with you that comes directly from that place. It's written by a person by the name of Michael Morwood. And like I said, accept this as a prayer or a meditation or simply a moment to breathe in and out and grab the words that you need in this moment. Hear now these words. As Christians, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus. In Him, we see the fullness of human possibility to make God visible in our lives. Like all of us, He grew in wisdom as He aged. He questioned. He searched for meaning. He shaped His convictions. He experienced love and came to know love's connectedness with His God. He stood firmly in His own religious tradition and preached good news to all people dreaming of a better humanity. We rejoice that His teaching sets us free from imagining a manipulative, intervening God and from thinking we are distant from the reality in which our very existence is grounded. We rejoice that Jesus led people to discover the sacred in the ordinary, in the crowd, in the lowly, in the everyday life, in human yearnings to be better people, and in being neighbor to one another. We give thanks for love from family and friends, and whatever has been in the circumstances of life now, and in whatever the future holds for us. Our Christmas prayer is that we may recognize and actively acknowledge the presence of the sacred in places we are reluctant to look. The stables of our own lives, among the downtrodden in society, in refugees, in people who are different than us. May we recognize God in us and give generous expressions to this wonderful gift we all share. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to share with you a blessing, and then we're going to stop being online, at least for our broadcast, and sing a hymn together, and then have a few announcements. And the blessing is simply this. the light of Christmas fill you every day, and every day may you fill the world with the light of Christmas.